flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are now joined. Let's go to the phone line. Phone lines to our guy, Jonathan Alexander, who can't stay away from us. He was here with us yesterday, who is covers the Texans for the Chronicle. And I think it's good to have you on today because, you know, you just recently kind of did a deep dive and had some serious conversations with a lot of people within the organization, specifically about this offense. And I'm just wondering, recently with those conversations, Jonathan, did you get the vibe that this is where they were headed in making a move with Slowik?
Yeah, I was looking at the longer it took for DeMeco to make a decision, the more likely it was going to head in the direction that he was going to part ways with Slowik. And through talking to sources in the building, you know, ultimately it came down to DeMeco saying that he felt like he had put a strong defense out on the field, a defense good enough to win a Super Bowl. And they gave the offense plenty of pieces, and the offense just didn't live up to those expectations. The offense underperformed and regressed when they felt like it shouldn't have.
What do you feel is the move here? Let's talk about on the front end of this. Bobby Slowik, the O-line coach, the assistant O-line coach, obviously gone. Do you think that's where it stops, or do you think there's more in the building that end up getting relieved of their duties?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, Chris Strausser was relieved of his duties, and we all expect that. We knew that that was coming. You know, I think anytime you hire a new OC, you know, they'll have a say over who they want in their staff, and then some of the current staff members may not want to, you know, coach under the new OC, whoever that is. So I think it definitely has the potential to be, you know, a lot of new faces on the offensive side of the building. But as of right now, we know that Slowik and Strausser is gone.
Yeah, I mean, with that, when you say a lot of new faces, I mean, and I said this on the other side, Jonathan Alexander covers the Texans for the Chronicle, joins us, is to me, if these guys are made to be the guys that are the reason, it should be more than that, right? And you said it could be some new faces. Do you feel pretty good about the fact that they will have other guys that probably won't be here, other guys that are pretty high, you know, positioned with this offense not being here after this season?
Yeah, I don't know exactly who would be gone, but I'm sure that whoever is the OC, and I think it's also possible that you could see Gerard Johnson become the OC. But whenever that person takes hold, they'll do a full evaluation of the coaching staff. And they'll look at which areas struggled the most and which areas have consistently struggled. And they'll probably hire new guys who they like, who they have experience with, and they'll probably replace the areas of struggle. I think the primary focus this offseason is going to be on offense and how they can fix it and how they can get to Super Bowl level to match what the defense was able to do.
Well, you mentioned Gerard Johnson, and to me this is a move where, look, like, you don't relieve a guy of his duty, of his job like this, and change terminology and start over from scratch. We've heard DeMeco, we've heard this coaching staff talk about how different it is when you go year one, year two, year three, and you have that head start offensively. Like, and I'm not saying it's not well worth it and justified, but when you do make that move, I would think moving on from a guy that coached a quarterback and called plays for a quarterback to throw for damn near 8,000 yards and 40-some-odd touchdowns and a handful of interceptions, I got to think that you got a pretty good idea of who you're going to replace him with and kind of how you're going to change this offense versus just go out there and, hey, we're going to have us a a search here and see if we can't find the best offensive mind to take his place. Just your thoughts on, do you think it's somebody they got a pretty good eye on, or do you think it's a open job?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about this a little bit off the air after the show yesterday. You know, you don't make this move unless you have an idea of what direction you want to go to, unless you know who you could potentially target, unless you know the guys who are likely to probably take the job. Like, you don't make this move without having some sense of surety that you're going to get a good candidate. So, I believe that they have a general idea of a handful of candidates that they probably want to go after. And they'll again gauge the interest of those candidates, and they'll choose the best one who they think will give them the best chance to win next season.
I want to, before we get you out, Jonathan, appreciate you jumping on with us. And I think Clint kind of hinted towards this. Do you think there is at least a chance or some sort of likelihood that they go outside of this Shanahan, McVay, this offense, Kubiak, this offense, that they go completely in a different direction? Or do you think this is an offense that they will stay within that family like they've had in San Francisco or L.A. or the other offenses that run that?
That's a great question. I don't know the exact answer to that. I think that they're open right now. I think they're open to staying within a similar type of style and system and try to keep some type of continuity with CJ Stroud, because they understand how important continuity is. Having said that, if the best candidate is somebody else, like a Chip Kelly, if the best candidate who has a different type of offense, then they would definitely be open to that if they think that makes the right fit. Now, of course, I'm sure that they'll get some insight from CJ Stroud and what he thinks about it, and I'm sure that'll play a part in it as well. But I think they're open to all possibilities.
Real quick before we get you out, I know it's really early in the process. Outside of Jerod Johnson, are there any other names that you're potentially hearing that could be connected with the position?
Yeah, I mean, as far as who I think make the most logical sense, I got a story coming out pretty soon. But I think, you know, Jerod Johnson makes a lot of sense. Chip Kelly could be somebody. Mike LaFleur, Rams offensive coordinator. As well as a guy like even Josh McCown, I think, could make sense. Now, whether the Texans would go to him, considering the history they have with him, I don't know. But I think those names in particular probably make the most sense. And Clint Kubiak as well. It was another name I forgot.
All right. Appreciate you joining us, Jonathan, as we're trying to get everything we can on this situation with Bobby Slowick. Moving on, we appreciate you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
All right. That is Jonathan Alexander, Chronicle. As he said, he's got a story coming out. Clint Kubiak, Mike LaFleur.
Houston loves some Cubs.
Yeah. Jerod Johnson, obviously, also said in there. We'll see.